Welcome back to From Trauma to True Love. I'm Layla Reyes. And today we're talking about boundaries, not the Instagram version, not the just say no version, and definitely not the version that turns you into a rigid, armored person who calls it self-respect. This episode is called Boundaries as Liberation, because boundaries are not about pushing people away. They're about creating safety. And without safety, there's no real intimacy. You can have chemistry. You can have intensity. You can have attachment and longing and even passion. But without safety, what you don't have is deep love. And so I want to say this clearly, because if you're here with me, you probably grew up with trauma or abuse, or you know, something happened. And it probably affected your capacity to set boundaries. So if boundaries feel confusing or threatening or even selfish to you, it's not because you're bad at relationships. It's not because there's something wrong with you. It's because your nervous system learned early on the unconscious belief that asserting yourself was dangerous. And I have an entire chapter on boundaries in my book, Freedom from Shame, Trauma, Forgiveness, and Healing from Sexual Abuse, because boundaries are not an optional skill for healing. They're foundational. And yet, they're one of the hardest things for survivors to learn. My clients are intelligent, successful, deeply self-aware women. They've done therapy. They've read the books. They understand trauma intellectually. And still, when it comes to boundaries, they freeze. They know something doesn't feel right. They feel it in their body. And they don't speak. They tolerate whatever's up. Or maybe they speak later after resentment has already built. Or maybe they over-explain, or they override themselves and call it compassion or understanding or patience. And then they wonder why they feel unseen and exhausted, or they're quietly angry in their relationships. So let me offer a deeper truth right here from the beginning. Boundaries are not walls. Well, they can be walls, but they're not walls. They're structures to safety, structures of safety, safety structures. They tell your nervous system, I can stay connected without disappearing. They tell other people that this is how to be in relationship with me. And they tell you, they tell ourselves, I matter enough to be protected. So if you grew up without protection, like me, boundaries can feel a little bit like rejection. But when you have a healthy relationship with boundaries, they're actually an invitation into relationships that don't require self-abandonment. So this episode isn't about becoming harsh. It's not about cutting people off. And it's not about blaming yourself for what you didn't know. It's about learning a skill that you were never taught, a skill that leads directly to safety, self-respect, and deeper love. And I gotta be completely honest with you. It will feel uncomfortable at first, but that doesn't mean that you're doing it wrong or that you're not capable or that you can't learn it. It means that you're finally doing something different. There's a quote that I come back to again and again, and it's anonymous, so I have no idea who wrote it, but it tells the truth without softening it. And it goes like this: whatever you're willing to put up with is exactly what you'll get. Not what you want, not what you hope for, not what you deserve, but what you tolerate. And so this sentence can feel confronting a little bit, especially if you're someone who learned early on to endure or to adapt or in order to survive. When I first really let that quote land, I had to look honestly at my own life and all the moments when I stayed quiet, where I minimized my own discomfort, where I told myself something wasn't that bad. And I put up with things because it felt safer than risking conflict, because I didn't want to be difficult. Because part of me believed that asking for more would lead to rejection or loss. And I see the same pattern over and over with my clients. They put up with emotional unavailability. with, they put up with inconsistent communication. They put up with being the one who gives more, waits more, understands more. They put up with relationships where their needs are always secondary to the person they're in relationship with. They don't do this that not because they like it, but because somewhere along the way, they learned that tolerating discomfort was the price of staying connected. I learned that, and it doesn't really work, actually. So here's the part that matters. In the beginning, setting boundaries feels risky, but not setting them comes at a huge cost. The cost are things like resentment, exhaustion. The cost is actually not getting what you want and then telling yourself that you could never have it anyway. Many people live in silent suffering. They feel disappointed, hurt, or unseen, but they never say anything. They assume they'll be denied, dismissed, or misunderstood, so they don't even take the risk of asking. And they endure one-sided relationships where they overgive and underreceive and then wonder why they feel so empty. Boundaries are the gateway out of this. They're what interrupt being taken advantage of. They're what makes room for reciprocity. They are what stops resentment from quietly poisoning your relationships. But here's what nobody tells you, probably nobody tells you. The risk you feel when you imagine setting a boundary is old. It belongs to a time when your safety actually depended on staying quiet. Your adult life is different now. Boundaries didn't cost you love. They reveal where love actually exists. Like, really. If someone disappears or punishes you or withdraws when you express a reasonable boundary, that information matters. It's important. Not because you did something wrong, but because the relationship was already unsafe. Boundaries didn't create loss. They exposed reality. They don't create loss, ever. You may lose, but it's not the boundary that's creating it. So the exposure is the beginning of freedom. And I love that. I love freedom for myself and I love freedom for you. So if boundaries feel confusing or overwhelming, it's important to understand where that comes from. We don't come into the world knowing how to set boundaries. We learn them. We learn boundaries from our early caregivers, from how they treated us, from how they protected us or didn't, from how they handled power, consent, and no. If you grew up, your no, like when you said no, like how did they handle that? If you grew up with caregivers who respected your body, your emotions, and your autonomy, boundaries often will feel natural. They may still be uncomfortable at times, but they totally make sense. But if you grew up in a home where boundaries were crossed, ignored, or violated, especially by the people who were supposed to protect you, then boundaries don't feel natural at all. When we grow up, they actually feel dangerous. For many survivors of abuse, neglect, or chronic emotional invalidation, the message learned early on was really clear. Number one, speaking up leads to consequences. Discomfort must be tolerated. Excuse me. We learned that other people's needs matter more than ours. We learned that keeping the peace is safer than telling the truth. So if you find yourself freezing or fawning or second-guessing yourself when you try to set a boundary, this is not a personal failure. It's a learned response. And it's really important to say this very clearly. It was not your responsibility as a child to know how to set healthy boundaries. Children are not supposed to protect themselves, not supposed to, you know, be worried about any of that. They're supposed to be protected. But while it wasn't your responsibility then, it is your responsibility now. Not as punishment, as empowerment, as a truth. This is actually true. It's your responsibility. And if you don't learn boundaries in adulthood, then relationships will continue to recreate a lack of safety. Not because you're choosing the wrong people, but because your system is operating from an old map. And boundaries show you how to update that map. Without boundaries, adult relationships often replicate the emotional dynamics of childhood. Overgiving in hopes of being chosen, staying quiet to avoid conflict, accepting behaviors that don't feel good, feeling unsafe, but telling yourself it's normal. And this is how people end up in relationships that feel familiar but painful. Learning boundaries later in life is not easy by any stretch of the imagination. It can feel awkward and clumsy, and it can feel like you're doing it wrong. That is all part of the process. You're learning a skill that was never modeled for you. And the goal of boundaries is not control, it's safety. Boundaries create a sense of internal protection. Like they teach your nervous system that you can take care of yourself now, today, in real time. And from that place, real intimacy becomes completely and totally possible. To understand why boundaries are so difficult, we need to talk a little bit about trauma responses. When something feels threatening or unsafe, the nervous system doesn't stop to analyze, it just reacts. The most common trauma responses are to fight, flight, freeze or fawn, those kinds of things. And fight can look like anger, sharpness, defensiveness, or sudden explosions. It's like, get away from me. It's to create safety. So we want to acknowledge that and celebrate. That's what we're trying to do, right? We're trying to protect ourselves. Same thing with flight, which looks like avoiding conversations, pulling away, ghosting, or staying super busy. Again, a protection. Freeze, which was one of my was my main one. It looks like going quiet, dissociating, losing your words, or feeling stuck. Again, these are all protections. Fawn can look like people pleasing, over agreeing, over giving, saying yes when you mean no. So what I want you to know about this is all of these responses are normal. They're not flaws. They're survival strategies. And they worked. The problem is not that these responses exist. The problem is when they become the only options you have in as an adult, maybe as a kid, those options were fabulous options to choose from. And we did it automatically without even having to think about it. But today we need to think about it a little bit more. We have We, if we don't, then those are the only options we have. They just are automatic. So for many survivors, when a boundary is needed, the body reacts before the mind can catch up. You might feel like a knot in your stomach. Maybe your chest tightens, your throat closes. You know something isn't okay, but instead of saying something, then your system just automatically chooses survival. And you freeze, you fawn, you disappear, dissociate. And later you might replay the moment and think, well, why didn't I say anything? Or later you'll have all the words that you should have said, could have said. But that's normal. You come back to yourself, you come back into awareness, and then you think that through. But this happens not because you lack the insight or courage. It really comes back to the nervous system, and your nervous system learned that self-protection once came at a cost. Boundaries are the missing skill that bridge survival and safety. They teach your system a new option. I can protect myself and stay connected. This is important because people confuse boundaries with aggression. And healthy boundaries are not fight. They're not attacks. They're not ultimatums. But they're also not freeze or fawn. They're not silence. They're not compliance. Boundaries are regulated self-expression. They're the ability to notice discomfort, stay present, and respond instead of react. And yes, this is a learnable skill. You can learn how to set boundaries in a way that feels grounded, clear, and respectful, both to yourself and others. And when boundaries are set from regulation instead of fear, people often feel invited to respect them. Not everyone will, but many will. Boundaries are how you create safety for yourself instead of hoping someone else will do it for you. They're how you stop outsourcing your well-being. And this is where real self-trust begins. I want to slow down this down just a little bit and make it really personal for a moment, because boundaries aren't theoretical. They show up in ordinary, everyday moments, moments where something feels off in your body before your mind can make sense of it. And I want to share a story from my own life that illustrates how boundaries get missed, especially when your system has learned to override discomfort. It's not a dramatic story, but and that's the point. It's subtle, and that's where boundaries are most often lost. And now that I think about it, maybe it is a very significant experience, because it was where I, without having boundaries, created a lack of safety for myself. And I share about this story in my book as well. So there was a gathering, an event, which is a public event. There was several friends, and we were in a community pool, just in a circle, standing inside the water, talking. And all of a sudden, I got this sense, my body responded right here. I could feel the hairs on the back of my neck go up, and I saw somebody out of the corner of my eye come into the pool. I didn't really look at him directly, but I felt his presence. And somehow I knew, my body knew, that he was going to come in and make his way into our circle. I didn't know if he was friends with somebody else in the group. All I knew is that I felt very uncomfortable. My body reacted. And so, yes, he started coming over. He made his way to the circle. I still didn't make eye contact with this person. He ended up getting right in between me and the person next to me. I didn't know if he knew that person or not. But then he put his arm around me, and over time, then he pulled me a little bit closer. And I was in a freeze mode. No boundary. I didn't know what to do. I felt stuck and frozen. Luckily for me, just so you know, nothing bad happened. A friend noticed what was happening and stepped in for me. If I had the access to creating boundaries for myself, I would have said something, done something, made eye contact, moved away from him, you know, set a really clear boundary. But when we don't have access and we don't know how to set boundaries, what happens is we end up creating a lack of safety for ourselves. And that's exactly what I did in this situation. And so I share that with you just, you know, as an example of how that can be so automatic. You know, now, today, I know how important boundaries are for my own safety. And in paying attention and trusting my body that knows, even before I know logically whether somebody is safe or not, that I can respond instead of react to that, or respond instead of shut down. So what that moment really taught me is that boundaries don't start with words. They start with sensation. Often they start with sensation. And your body knows long before your mind has permission to speak. When you've learned to override yourself, you could miss those early signals. You could stay polite or stay still and quiet like I did. Afterwards, you might blame yourself. You might think, oh, I should have said something. I should have done something. You know, but the more important question is what would it take for me to feel safe responding in the moment? I'm going to say that again. A more important question is, what would it take for me to feel safe responding in the moment? This is where boundaries become an act of self-respect, an act of creating safety for yourself, not because you've handled it perfectly, Not because you're willing to listen to yourself next time. Boundaries are you how you interrupt self-betrayal. You may have been betrayed way in the back, but a long time ago. But when we don't learn boundaries, then we end up betraying ourselves, not really taking good care of ourselves. Don't go into shame if you've done that. You need to be able to see it, to acknowledge it. You have to have awareness of these things before you can really change anything. So this is where I'm pointing you in the direction that boundaries are how you interrupt that self-betrayal. They teach your system that discomfort is information, not something to be ignored. And then when you start responding to those early signals, something shifts. You start to trust yourself more. You feel safer in your body. And then that safety becomes the foundation for healthier relationships. There's a quote by Tara Brach that really captures the heart of this work. The boundary to what we can accept is a boundary to our freedom. And this isn't spiritual platitude, it's lived reality. If you accept being spoken to in ways that diminish you, your life shrinks to fit that. If you accept inconsistency, then your nervous system learns to stay on edge. If you accept overgiving and under-receiving, you slowly lose access to your own needs. What you accept becomes the container of your life. Boundaries expand freedom because they interrupt self-abandonment. But I want to be honest about something. Everything really. When you first start setting boundaries, it, like I said earlier, it can feel really awkward. You might not get the tone right. You might overreact. You might sound stiff or shaky. And yes, you might temporarily push people away. That does not mean boundaries don't work. It means you're learning how to use them. Cause for celebration if those things happen, even though it can feel really uncomfortable. So most people, most of us who grew up with some type of trauma, we weren't taught how to set healthy boundaries. We were taught silence, compliance, or explosion. So when you start practicing something new, it's just not going to be elegant at first. And I'm just wanting to say that because it's super normal. And these boundaries are not those brick walls. They're not meant to isolate you. Healthy boundaries create openings for real connection. They make room for honesty, mutual satisfaction, and respect. And this is where another quote fits perfectly. No is a complete sentence. That doesn't mean you have to be cold. It means you don't have to justify your choices, your existence, your perception, your boundary. You don't have to justify it. You don't owe long explanations for protecting yourself. You don't owe emotional labor to soften every truth. And here's another truth that many people resist. Being honest will not get you more approval. It will get you alignment. It will get you alignment. As John Lennon said, being honest might not get you a lot of friends, but it'll get you the right ones. Boundaries clarify who can meet you where you are. Some people will struggle when you set boundaries, not because you're wrong, but because they were uncomfortable with the version of you who didn't speak, or they were comfortable. I'm sorry, they were comfortable with the version of you who didn't speak up, who didn't set boundaries. So you're changing these unspoken rules, and not everyone's going to like that. Trust me on that one for sure. This is where some people will pull back. They decide it's easier to stay quiet than to risk losing connection. But here's the cost of that choice. The cost is living a life that doesn't fully belong to you. Boundaries are the price of freedom, and freedom is worth the discomfort. Here's another quote that belongs here. It's simple, but it's a little bit confronting. When and Paulo Coelho said this: when you say yes to others, make sure you're not saying no to yourself. This quote matters because many people don't realize how often they're saying no to themselves. They say yes to plans they don't want, yes to work that isn't fairly compensated, yes to emotional labor that isn't reciprocated, yes to relationships who drain them, and they tell themselves it's kindness. They tell themselves it's maturity. They tell themselves it's being easygoing. But over time, that yes becomes resentment. Here's the piece that I want to say with clarity and compassion. It was not your responsibility as a child to know how to set healthy boundaries. If you weren't protected, if your boundaries were violated, if your needs were ignored, that was not your fault. Children adapt to survive. But once you become an adult, it becomes your responsibility to learn what you were never taught. Not because you failed, but because you deserve safety. And this is where many people can get stuck. They intellectually understand boundaries, but emotionally setting them can feel terrifying. They think things like, people won't like me, I'll lose the relationship, I'll be seen as selfish, I'll end up alone. So they don't take the risk. They stay silent and call it patience. They tolerate and call it love. They wait and hope someone will eventually change. But boundaries are not forcing other people to behave differently. They're about organizing your life around self-respect, around what you want, around what you need. And here's what's surprising: when you start practicing these boundaries, some people will step up. They'll adjust. They'll adapt. They'll respect you more. Others won't. Again, not because you're wrong in setting those boundaries, but because the relationship was structured around your self-abandonment, around not having those boundaries. And that can be a painful realization. You may have to let some people go. That's just the way that it will end up playing out. You may have to grieve relationships that can't meet you where you are now. But the cost of not taking that risk is too high. The cost is living disconnected from yourself. Boundaries don't make you lose. They make the truth visible. And once the truth is visible, you can choose differently. So I want to make this practical, because boundaries don't change through insight alone. They change through action, conscious action. And in my book, Freedom from Shame, I offer an exercise around boundaries that's simple, but not easy. And the exercise starts here. You make a list of everything that you are currently doing that you don't want to be doing. Not that you should stop doing someday, not that what you'd like to change in theory, what you're actually doing right now that drains you. So this could include things like what you automatically say yes to that you really don't want to say yes to. Notice that how quickly that can happen. It includes how you're spending your time, where you're working harder than you're being compensated for, where you agree when you don't want to agree, where you stay quiet to avoid discomfort or conflict. And most people are a little shocked by how long this list can be. And then after you make that list, I invite you to notice the clues that boundaries are missing. So resentment is a big one. If you experience resentment, it's a clue that you need a boundary. Or disappointment that your voice is, you never voice, the disappointment. You never speak it up. You just keep it to yourself. Maybe feeling unappreciated, but never asking for what you want, even appreciation. So that silent suffering is often a sign of unexpressed boundaries. So many people believe that they'll be denied before they ever ask, they ever take the risk to ask. And so they'll decide in advance that their needs are too much, or that they don't matter, that what they want won't matter, that it's safer to endure. Is this how people end up in one-sided relationships, overgiving and under-receiving? And then wondering why love feels so unsatisfying. So I want you to see this really clearly. Boundaries are not about demanding, they're about clarity. Once you've made that list, see if you can identify one boundary that you could set, just one. It might be with another person, or it might be with yourself. And a boundary with yourself might sound like, I'm not answering work emails after a certain time, or I'm not over explaining my decisions, or I'm not saying yes before I check in with my body. Simple boundary. Pick one. You don't have to fix everything at once. You don't have to, all of a sudden be the queen of boundaries, boundary setting. Boundaries are actually built through small, consistent acts, choices. And each time you set one, something changes. You trust yourself more, you feel more solid inside, and then that self-trust makes the next boundary easier. And this is how safety is built from the inside out. So I want to leave this with you. Healthy boundaries do not isolate you. They don't make you cold, and they don't turn you into someone who's hard to love. They do the opposite. Healthy boundaries shape how you feel about yourself. And every time you honor your own limits, you send a message inward. I matter. My experience matters. I can be trusted. I can trust myself. And then that internal shift changes everything from there. When you trust yourself, you stop looking outside of yourself for permission. You stop negotiating your worth. You stop accepting crumbs and calling it compromise. And from that place, connection changes. So remember, boundaries are not these brick walls, they're openings. They make space for true connection, for mutual satisfaction. For relationships where people get to fully exist. Without boundaries, relationships become about endurance. With boundaries, they can become about choice. And, I'm all about being honest with these things. So not everyone's going to be able to meet you once you start setting boundaries. Some people will struggle, some people will resist, some people will leave. That doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. It means that you're no longer organizing your life around other people's comfort at the expense of your own comfort, of your own safety. The cost of boundaries is discomfort. The cost of not setting them is losing yourself. And that cost is too high. If boundaries feel terrifying right now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't set them. It means that they matter. You don't have to do this perfectly. You don't have to get it right every time. You just have to be willing to stop abandoning yourself. This is the work, not becoming harder, becoming truer. And I talk about this deeply in my book, From Freedom From Shame, especially in the chapter on boundaries, because it's not about control, it's about liberation. Boundaries are how you create safety. And safety is what makes love possible, real love possible. This is From Trauma to True Love. I'm Leila Reyes. And remember, your past doesn't get the final say in your relationships. You do. Thank you for joining me on this episode of From Trauma to True Love. I honor your courage for being here, taking steps towards the love and connection that you truly desire. I've been there too, stuck in painful patterns, longing for love but unsure how to create it in a way that felt safe, real, and lasting. You don't have to figure it all out on your own. If you're ready to explore what's been holding you back, and discover what's truly possible for your relationships, I would love to support you. Visit Leila Reyes, LeilaReyes, Leila Reyes, and schedule a call today. We'll take the first step together toward the deep,
meaningful love that you were born to have. I can't wait to connect with you. Until next time, take good care of yourself and know that real, lasting love is within your reach.